the house of the Lord that does not take place when you're not in it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? So David is writing from experience and he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. You see, each and every Sunday morning, beginning at 8:30 and then again at 10:30, there is an invitation from your pastors that says, arise and shine. For the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is ready to shine down upon you. Let us come, and let us go into the house of the Lord. We not coming to your house. We not coming to my house. We coming into the house of the Lord. He says this incredible statement in verse 2. And he tells us and begins to describe and define for us what happens when we come to the house of the Lord. He says in verse 2 of Psalms 122 that our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. That means that when you come to the house of the Lord, that you now have a place to stand. As you're going through trials and as you're going through tests and as you're going through things that tax you and feel like a tax and you keep having to pay the enemy and there seems to be no place to stand. The enemy comes in, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, like a flood. How does the enemy come in? Like a flood. So that means you have no place to stand, but that you're standing in the enemy's mess. You go over here to try to escape the enemy and try to find a dry place to stand. And lo and behold, what do you find? You go back here, try to find a dry place to stand. And what do you find? Flood. You go over here. You fast and you pray. You even dare to obey. Now there's a thought, but you get here, you fast, you pray and you obey. But what is still here? Flood. So you know, maybe I'll change churches. So you go over here. And guess what's in that church too? Because the enemy has come in like a flood. Everywhere you go, flood happens. And so here's David. David is invited to go to the house of the Lord. And he begins to write this psalm and he begins to realize, oh my goodness, I get to go to the house of the Lord in the midst of all that I'm going through, in the midst of all of this flood. If I can just get to the house of the Lord, I will have a place of rest, a place of refuge, a place to stand. In this world that's been flooded, I have a place, a rock, a presence, a person, a provision, a standard that is higher than myself. If I can just get to Jerusalem, if I can just get to church, I know it's Thursday, but it already feels like Friday night and I'm hanging on the cross and everybody's took their shot at me and I'm more dead than I am alive. I can just push my way from Thursday to Friday. If I can just keep this pilgrimage up. If I can just remind myself and stir up my strength for one more day. And if I can just get to Saturday, I'll be on the eve of being invited into the house of the Lord. Because I know that if I get to the house of the Lord, based on His history with me, He is the same. Shout the same. I know that something happens in the house of the Lord that doesn't happen anywhere else. It only happens in the house of the Lord. And that if I can just get there on Sunday, gray skies are going to clear up. God's going to give me a reason through my praise to put on a happy face. Because praise is not my language, it's His. I don't understand praise, but I know it's a crazy kind of praise that begins to move Him in a crazy kind of way. You see, when you're going through it, God will give you a strange hunger in a strange time. Ever hear of a woman at 3 o'clock in the morning have a strange hunger at a strange time? Wake up and tell her husband, "Husband, I am ready for some dill pickles. I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to put them on the top of cookies and cream, Bluebell ice cream. And as I eat that in one hand, pickles and cookies and cream in one hand, I'm going to have sour cream and onion chips in the other hand. And honey, it's called a strange hunger at a strange time." Have you ever met a woman called strange? If you're sitting by her, just lift your hands and praise the Lord that for once you didn't say nothing. You see, God is that place to stand. And the way that you find your place to stand in the midst of the flood is you find that you suddenly begin to have an appetite to praise. You find that you follow that praise by faith and not by feeling. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. And your praise never looks like your problem. If you wait for your problem to show up and tell you, "Hey, Sister Gail, I believe it's a good day for you to praise the Lord in the house. I know I've come in like a flood, girlfriend, but why don't you just come down here? And don't you let no rock take your place, sunshine. You just come and praise the Lord with all your Latin blood. Be proud. Be loud." Woo! You know, isn't that how some of us, we wait for that, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We can go sit down and I'll abuse someone else now. Your praise will never look like your problem, and your praise doesn't feel like your problem because your praise is not limited to your problem, because your praise is not your language, it's His. And God can't help Himself when you begin to praise. God can't tell Himself from your praise. Hear me. You're not hearing me, or you're not getting it, or you're not wanting it. Which is it? You're not getting it, you're not wanting it, and you're not hearing it, but you're going to get it again and again and again. Because God cannot tell Himself from your praise. Because when you begin to praise, you begin to speak in His language, and His language is unlimited. And He begins to hear the very word that was written that is yes and is amen. It is the Alpha and the Omega, and it sounds like His voice and not yours. And God can't help Himself. Anytime He hears Himself talking, He's got to get in what He's talking and do some walking. See, that's what happens, man, when you're in the midst of a storm. Look for your praise. Because when you look for your praise, you'll find His presence. And that's what David is saying. I'm a psalmist. I'm a songwriter. Before I was a great king, before I was a great pastor like Pastor Greg, before I was an apostle and a prophet and a bishop, I was a worshiper. This is my thing. And I have found that my worship releases His thing. Because see, my thing is just enough to get me in the problem, but it's not enough to get me out. I want you to turn to your spouse and say, "Honey, this is a fine mess you got us into." You see, what got you into your problem won't get you out of your problem. Who you is going into your problem is not going to be who you are coming out of your problem. Just shout, "I'm coming out. I'm coming out." And that's what David was saying. David was saying, "Oh, I'm so glad to go to the house of the Lord. I am so tired of carrying this thing. I am so tired of being heavy laden. I am so tired of the flood ruining my day. I cannot wait to get to the house of the Lord, because when I go in, I'm going to come out. And when I come out, I'm not going to look like I did when I went in. I'm not going to be the same. I'm not going to act the same. And the flood will have receded, and I will be standing on a rock that is higher than I, because God in the house of the Lord gives me, number one, a place to stand." In Psalms 84 and verse 10, it says, "For a day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper, an usher, a greeter in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, He is a sun. He is a shield. The Lord will give me grace and He will give me glory. No good thing, shout good thing, will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. How many of you could use a good spiritual tan from being in the Lord who is a son? Oh, how many of you are ready to go where no man has ever gone before and go with a force shield? Just tell your neighbor the force is with you. The Lord will give grace. David knew that his problem, his flood, and his enemy would give no grace. And therefore, they would give no ground. And therefore, he would have no glory. So you've got to get to the place of grace. Because it's in the place of grace that God first begins to erase. Some of you got some stuff on your big chief spiritual notebook that needs erased. You've been carrying sin and shame on you for your sin. Shame and sin will get you in your problem, but shame and sin won't solve your problem. We sometimes carry our sin and our shame around as if it's ours to conquer and ours to erase. But when you come to the house of the Lord, it is a house of grace. That as we begin to worship the Lord and we move into His courts. Because just because you come to church doesn't mean you come into the courts. Some of you are living proof of that. And I'm going to point you out right now. I'm going to start over here. I'm going to move through the congregation. And everyone said, start with someone else. And so what we find here is that when God begins to move and the presence of His being is in the courts, He begins to erase your past. Girlfriend, I've been noticing you've been struggling with guilt and condemnation. Isaiah 1 and 18 holds my eraser and it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Better is one day in the courts of my eraser than 1,000 elsewhere. I'm going to erase it because you had the courage to face it. And I'm not just an erasing kind of God. I'm a replacing kind of God. David knew if I can just get to the house of the Lord, God's going to fix my mess and turn it into a message. God's going to take my test and turn it into a testimony. How many of you are tired of having tests without testimonies? David was tired. David was heavy laden. Like you, he was married. Like you, he had a family. Like you, he had unpaid bills. Like you, he had problems. Like you, he was human. So therefore, like you, he was evil and had to be destroyed. And he thought, if I can just get into the house of the Lord, God's going to replace all this in my life. And He's going to restore me and give me a place to stand. Secondly, he said, man, I got to get to the house of the Lord because it's a place to praise. And remember, praise is God's language and not our own. And it's in my praise that I begin to leave a historical marker. You see, the Bible says in verses 3 and 4 here that Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. And together, for those of you who don't speak Cajun, it's there in Jerusalem, in the church, in the temple of God's presence, that David knew he would find unconditional love and an ability to commune with God's presence. David knew and had learned through his own sin that he would never be enough for God to accept him without some help. And so God sent him some help through the grace of God. In the New Testament, we know that grace as Jesus Christ, whose name is above all names. David knew that that grace could do something for him. And he knew the only place to find that grace and to find that place of praise that would leave his mark in history would be in the local church. And so he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because David so wanted to leave behind in his children who his God was. Sound familiar to any of you? He knew that his children would go through the same floods. And because he didn't want the flood to affect him in the same way, he would tell them where the rocks were in the flood. Now follow me here. He would tell them where the rocks were in the flood. And that would be the way through his praise. He would leave his history behind for his children to follow. I want you to dwell on it, because here's Christ at the cross. He too wanted to leave his legacy. He too wanted to speak to each and every one of us about the fact that not only is there a rock always in your storm that is higher than you, but to look for your Father in your fight. Because your Father would always leave some rocks to walk upon that was higher than your circumstance, your situation, and your flood. And so on the cross, he began to show you where the rocks were. He said, when you're in the midst of it, and you're mad as a hornet. And again, how do we measure how mad a hornet really gets? We do not know, but we trust this by faith. And you're as mad as a hornet, and you're ready to retaliate. David says, rise up and begin to speak. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They know not what I'm going through. Father, forgive me for falling short of the glory. And as you begin to walk in forgiveness, there is a rock. There is a place higher than yourself. Just try that on as you're seated. Just move one leg and then the other right there where you're seated. You can try this. You don't even have to go home and try this. You are becoming trained professionals. Go ahead. Just move yourself just a little bit. Ooh, there's a race and there's a rock. And in the race of life, there is a rock that will always be higher than you. Your praise begins to show you what's beneath the surface. You've been thinking it was a submarine coming to take you out. You've been thinking it was an octopus. You've been thinking they've made another Jaws movie and you're the lead actor and nobody told you about it. And the music you hear, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. You're thinking that that is an announcement that the end of the movie is almost here, or at least the end of your part in the movie is almost over. Don't you love it when you see movies? How many of you go to movies? I understand now the spirit of sin that resides here. And how many of you know the best part that all of us stay for is the credits at the end? That most of us don't even go to see the movie. We just want to see who was in it. And everyone said not. And have you noticed in the movie with credits, if you've ever watched them before, that there's always the lead actors and you knew them and who they were and what part they played. And then it just keeps getting further and further and further on down. And the print gets smaller and smaller and the trailer goes faster and faster and faster. And that you have to be a speed reader. And have you noticed that towards the bottom, it'll say things like, man in restaurant. Man in restaurant, Greg Bob. I bet that was Greg Bob's dream in life, was to someday show up in the credits at the end of the movie as the man in the restaurant. Yeah. How many of you sometimes feel like that man in the restaurant that has a name but doesn't have a place? You see, that's where Christ resides. He's not the man in the restaurant. He's the rock in the storm. He's the peace in the valley. And not just any peace. He's the lily of the valley. He's a star in the sky, and not just any sty or sky. He's the bright and the morning star. What you need to do is you need to begin to declare to the place you're in that says it's over. You need to declare the place you're in that says this is your ending and you're going to be that one eaten by a shark. Greg Bob at the end of the credits. You need to begin to tell the enemy that that music in the background, it is not your funeral music. It is your coming out music. That you've got a man, a fourth presence in the fire. You got somebody who's already gone before you into the den of lions and has already tamed them and made pets out of them. That if God deemed for you to walk through this storm, then it's safer to be in the storm that God says is his will than to be out of this storm. And that's what David is saying. Man, when I go to the house of the Lord, I find there a place that's higher than me. And I begin to praise in that place. And I begin to leave for those to come the rocks in the flood that tells them where God is and who God is when you can't see straight. I close this morning by drawing your attention to the fifth verse where it says in verse 5 that the public courts were there and justice was meted out according to the law. And if you notice here, this in turn, as a result of them standing before these thrones of judgment, there came peace and prosperity. What David is recalling here and what God is teaching us here is that many times the enemy comes in like a flood privately, and people arrive at church on Sunday and many are privately going through hell on earth. And the enemy has come in like a flood, and the enemy has been a master in making you feel like it's your fault. You fell short of the glory. You didn't measure up. You messed up. There is no grace. There is no hope. There is no way out. The only outcome is mine. You're going to have to sit in this. You're going to have to lay in this. This is your bed and this is your assignment. Ever been there before? And what David is saying is, oh, I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord, because in the house of the Lord, they would publicly hold court out in the open. And it's there that justice was meted out according to the law. When you come to the house of God, there is something that happens here that doesn't happen anywhere else. And what happens here, as I shared in the first service this morning, is that God literally holds court. And he drags you and your problem with you into court. And you have now a public setting for your private trying and your private testing. It means that everything comes out into the light. The enemy, as long as he can keep you in the dark, shout dark. Keep your secrets and keep your sins and keep your shortcomings in the dark. Then the enemy has an ability to control you and to manhandle you and to overcome you and overwhelm you and to destroy you, because anything in the dark has the power of darkness. But when you bring that something into the light, then it loses its authority and it's revealed for who it really is and what it really is. You see, the enemy, 1 Peter tells us, comes like a roaring lion. He comes like a roaring lion. How does he come like? The problem with you and me is we don't realize he is, or he ain't, a lion that roars. He's not a lion. He comes like a roaring lion. And we think we have this roaring lion on our hands. And as long as we allow the secrets and the sin and the shame and the shortcoming to remain in the dark, and we don't go public with our confession through our praise and through our repentance, the enemy has a stronghold over us. And we constantly each day have to bow to something that appears like a roaring. But the moment that we come to the house of the Lord, we go to the supreme of all supreme courts. We appeal our case to a higher level, to the highest of judges, to the highest and most supreme authority in the land. And it's there, according to the word of God, that God judges your thing. Shout my thing. So as you're in this court and you come with your problem, you suddenly have a double take experience. Because suddenly you look at the thing that's been tormenting you in the dark, and now that it's in the light of God's glory and God's grace, you don't see a lion going, how does the lion go? How does the lion go? How does the hippo go? You suddenly realize you've had the enemy appearing like something he's not. And you look over there and you see a little Persian that's all puffy, all stuffy. But underneath that, all that fur, he ain't a lion. He's a little cat.
Can I have some milk, please?
And you realize you have been feeding yourself not to a lion, but to a cat. And you realize this because you see now your enemy not through your eyes, but through his eyes. And David knew, when I praise the Lord, I begin to see my problems not through my eyes, but I see them through the courts of his judgment and his word and his eyes. And when I begin to see the enemy through his eyes, I begin to see that peace is mine and prosperity is mine. Now this morning I want to leave you with this powerful passage that I believe is going to help you, because it's in this passage of scripture that as I finish reading it, you begin to see what is in the walls of this church. It says in verse 2 again, after this man of God said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, because in the house of the Lord, verse 7 says, that there is peace within the walls and prosperity within this palace. And it's here for my brethren and companions' sakes. I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. In the walls of the house of the Lord, there is peace. The house of the Lord is as a palace. And in the palace, there is prosperity. In this place to stand, David gives us another glimpse of how quickly God's grace can erase and replace the things in our life we're willing to face. He says in Psalms 84 and verse 10, for a day in the courts. Doesn't this sound familiar? We've read it once, but better is one day. Shout better. Better is one day than a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day than a thousand elsewhere. How many of you are all for people sharing their testimony? And how many of you enjoy people's testimonies? But how many of you enjoy when it's your turn to testify even more? And how many of you are tired of testifying about your test? You're ready to testify about your testimony. Now, how many of you will help me this morning by being mature? Who will help me? You'll be mature. Do you remember when Apostle Spence was here a few weeks ago? And he said, the worst is over. And to get ready for your blessing because it's here. How many of you remember that? And he said, you know, you're going to have to watch yourself. And you're going to have to be careful not to get jealous when other people get blessed. Now, how many of you know that your blessing is tied to someone else? It always is. Your calamity is always connected with someone's demand for a miracle. And God brings two weak individuals together because it's those two weak things that come together. And God said, oh, hey, let the weak say I'm strong. Oh, hey, let the poor say I am rich. So that both can say, better is one day in the courts of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere. When you have a problem that comes in like a flood and it won't go away, and you're not able to find the rock that is higher than you, you have to make provision and allowance for that problem to be in your life. And you totally live your life different. And it's really not so much about living your life as life now living you. And you're here this morning to receive that better presence. And the inside of the word does that. And this weekend, as I was preaching at a leadership conference, something miraculous began to happen in this church that had never happened before. In fact, still, some of it is just amazing to me. I'm almost afraid to talk about it because it's been so long since I've seen this kind of true refreshing and repentance in the people of God. If you shout increase, the people come. If you shout decrease, the people leave. If you shout provision, the people come. If you shout, you're going to go through hell and have some problems, but God's going to be with you. People are saying, it's time to leave and find a different conference. That couldn't be God. It was in this conference that God began to move in a mighty way. And one of the things that happened was the Lord had led me to take a gift to this pastor and his wife. And the time that I went last year to preach the same leadership conference, I had taken something different, which represented that time and that season. And so in this time and season, I felt like I should stop and get him a gift. And what I found was just this little bitty clock at the bottom, and it served as the base of what held the staff of Moses. Now, if you recall from Old Testament times, that the people of God were in the midst of sickness and disease was in the midst of them, and it was actually taking lives, and people were losing their lives through disobedience, which allowed this sickness and disease in. And so thousands upon thousands of people had already died from this sickness. And Moses went before God and said, there must be some intervention. You must intervene. You must release your power and provision in the midst of this flood. And God said, take your staff, wrap serpents around them. And when you hold this staff above and before the people, those that look upon it will be healed. So I had that on top of this little clock. It was all one piece. And I said, Pastor, I know we're about to go and take our break. I'd like for you to take this and just hold it above the people. I believe there is a release of healing like this church has never experienced about to take place. And at that point, the conference had kind of died down to a point that it was time to take a break. And then we were going to come back for our last session. He took this and he just held it up. And this is the kind of church like Dominion. You can't tell the praising from the preaching from the praying. I mean, it all is one. They start sometime in the morning, their service, and they end sometime in the afternoon. They're so much like us that I couldn't tell the pandemonium from the miraculous because they just really would follow hard after the prophetic acts. He holds this up in his hand, and you can barely see it. It's just about the size of his hand, but he holds it up, and people begin to pray. They extend their hands, and they lift their eyes, and they look upon the staff. Now, what began to take place is nothing short of God. Shout God. How many of you know you just get to a place in your life that sooner or later you're going to realize, I can only get so far without? And you know, I believe there's people here today and you're at the end of how far you can go in yourself and you've come for one reason and that reason is to meet God. And in just a moment, we'll introduce you to Him personally and He is going to begin to heal marriages and families and bodies and finances and past, present, and futures. If you need a healing, shout, I need a healing. He holds us up, pandemonium breaks out, we break. During the break, this lady comes up with her husband and she is just crying and laughing all at the same time. And she said, when you did that prophetic act and you had Pastor hold that up, something began to happen in me that I've prayed for years. As a small child, my mom noticed that I'd kind of walk stooped over. And so she took me to the doctor and they diagnosed me with a specific kind of scoliosis. Did I say that right? Every preacher needs a choir, a little choir to help him a little bit. So, as I said, scoliosis. And she said, progressively through the years, I was a Catholic as a child, but progressively through the years, I just felt this hunger growing in me, and I wasn't really sure if God was really God in the form that my husband has said that He is, and I've been praying for a sign. I mean, I've given my heart to the Lord by faith, but I'm not really able to trust in this Lord because I'm not really sure if He's real. Do you ever need a sign in your flood to see if God's real? This girl did. This lady did. And she said, because of this curvature of the spine and the scoliosis, we weren't going to be able to have children without it threatening my life or breaking my back and leaving me paralyzed. And so my husband and I have been praying that God would do something, that God would intervene. And I've been praying that God would give me a sign. So when you held that up, something began to happen in me. I looked from my stooped over position, and as I looked at this particular thing in his hand, I felt this real hot warming sensation begin to sweep through my back. I'd never felt it before. And as I began to feel it just sweep down my back, I began to feel something lift me up. As you were saying, Pastor, He's the glory and lifter of our head. I began to feel something or someone begin to lift my chin. I can't do that. I can only go so far. And I just began to hear this popping noise. And I just found myself suddenly standing straight up. And she said, and I couldn't do this before. And she began to leap and dance. And she began to run back and forth. And she began to walk straight and walk uprightly. Let me tell you, only God can take the crooked place and the crooked piece in your life and make it straight again and make you upright. And she began to share that, and she began to let ladies that had seen her back before look at her back, and all of them just gasped because they remembered that place once called crooked, and now they saw the place called straight. As we progressed into the last session, and we began to pray over people, I asked a lady to come down, and I began to pray for her. And I stopped, and I said, I believe this young lady has been the brunt of much criticism. She doesn't praise like the rest of you. She prays as much crazier. In fact, she prays as much like King David did, that it's almost offensive to some of you, and you've drawn lines of judgment and criticism against her. But I would say that this is what the new generation is going to praise God like. They're going to just go for it. They're going to get over themselves and what people think, and they're just going to go for God. And therefore, they're going to have the miraculous like this previous generation didn't have. And so I was just getting ready to prophesy over her and pray for her when a lady comes up and totally messes my groove up. And she said, Pastor, can I do something first? I'm like, hey, this is my party. Go sit down. I did not say that. But I was tempted to think that. But anyway, I looked at her and I said, well, you know, what is it? Because I didn't think it fit. And she grabbed the microphone out of my hand and she said, I have come to ask forgiveness. I have spoken against her. I have criticized her. And I have torn her up and torn her down to other people. And I've brought division to this church. And the reason this church can't go forward and buy the land it needs to buy and build the buildings it needs to build is because my spirit of unforgiveness and criticism and my religiosity of criticism and judgment has held this church down and held this church back. And she said, if you'll just forgive me, I promise I'll do better. At that moment, the Holy Spirit just slayed both of them. So we kept praying for people. That same woman gets up and she points out about six of her family in the audience. And she went and publicly, corporately grabbed the microphone and she said, you know what? It's not been good between us for a long, long time. I've given you reason to hate me. I have hurt you. I have rejected you. I have made fun of you. I have put you down. And I'm telling you that God holds me accountable this day to confess my sins publicly because I have made our relationship a problem publicly. And God says today there will be public justice. And would you forgive me? This was her sister-in-law, and she was so caught off guard by it, she was totally slain in the spirit. 30 minutes later, she comes up off the floor. And she went to each and every one of them and said, would you forgive me? See, friend, she got more serious about finding the rock than standing in the flood. And she couldn't take another day in the flood, and she was willing to change the things that were changing her. And she was carrying all this baggage on the inside, and she was expecting God to change the outside before she would be right with God on the inside. And God said, you know what? I'm going to fix you up on the inside first and then change what's on the outside next. Friend, that could be your step of obedience. That could be what you've come to make right today. There may be something in your life that you just know is not right, and you need to tell your spouse, you need to tell your family, you need to tell people in the church. You need to get it right so you can find the rock in the flood. Are you breathing? Are we still mature? At the end of the conference, just as the apostle had prophesied in this house that this would be a year of blessing, this would be an increase year, this would be a year that we could finally say the worst is over, the pastor came, and the pastor began to minister to me and talk to me about future things that he would like to do. He's talking about coming next month because we've opened the doors of Dominion Church, and we are hosting our first annual Senior Pastors Conference. Steve and Becky Riggle will be here, as will Jim and Denise Ryan, and already we have 15 or 16 senior pastors that were supposed to come for a small group gathering, an intimate gathering. In fact, we're trying to close the door on this thing because we only sent out a few invitations, but there is such a draw to what is in this house because this house is filled with peace and these walls are filled with prosperity. God has put an anointing on this church to heal pastors and preachers. And he began to talk to me, and he began to talk about how much my relationship had meant to him. And he said, you know, I gave you that little figurine that had Moses. And you remember how I just began to just share my heart with you? He said, Pastor, I look at you like a Moses. You're an apostle to me. I know we're Assemblies of God and we don't use that terminology, but you've been like a Moses to me. Every time you come into my life, every time you speak a word, every time you preach, it parts the Red Sea in my life and you carry me over to the place that God has for me. He said, Pastor, I want to walk with you and I want to walk with your congregation, and I want to reiterate something that I said in front of the whole congregation. I said, well, sure, Pastor, what's that? He said, do you remember when I told this story about mothering a church? I said, yes, I do. And I'm going to tell you the story because it affects you. Don't you love it when blessing and increase affects you? I mean, I'm all for others getting it too, but I like it when it affects me. He said, about a year ago, the district came to me and they said, we'd like for you to mother a church in Manville. We want you to pioneer a church. You're a larger church. You have great resource. We want you to start a new church and we want you to pastor that church. We want you to take a team of people and we want you to go over there and start this church, get it going, pay all the bills, and then stay there through a staff pastor. We want you to assign a staff pastor. He said, I talked to the superintendent, told him I'd pray about it and that I'd get back to him, but I just wasn't sure. When I got back to him, I said, you know what? We are stretched so thin. There's no way that we can mother a church. There's no way we can plant a church. But thank you for the privilege of even considering us. And so he said, at that point in time, he just let it go. He said, tonight as Pastor Greg was speaking, and this is the story, he said, as you were preaching Friday night, the Spirit of the Lord began to just come upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. And the Spirit of the Lord said, it's time for our church to mother a church. And he said, I began to wrestle with the Lord. And I told the Lord, we don't have time. We don't have resource. And the Lord says, oh, you have time and you have resource. But I don't want you to go to another city and start fresh and new. I don't want you to try to raise up a pastor, because the place you're going to mother already has a pastor and it's already going strong. He said, what I want you to do, get this, it's for you. He said, I want you to start taking an offering every month. And with that offering, I want you to send it to Dominion Church. You're going to mother them financially. You need what they have. You need what they have and where they're going, and you need to plant seed in their future, because your future is in theirs. Your blessing is in theirs. And so beginning this next month, for an indefinite period of time, a church is going to partner with this church and not tell us how to run our church, not try to have control of our church. They're just going to show our church the money. Now, what kind of deal is that? I want you to turn to someone and tell them, it's on. It's on. Baby, it's on. You know what that means, don't you, Kisa? It's on, baby. It is on. And this is where I close for a little while. He hands me a check. And for years, we have traveled all over this country, and we have invested and planted seed in everyone's ministries that we felt like God had called us to. Go there for two or three nights. Go there for two or three days. Go there for camp meetings. Go there for conferences. Go there for conventions. Go there for deliverances. And people say, that was the greatest move of God this church or this ministry or this conference has ever seen. And then they give me a check that would almost cover my gas. But we came home and we remained faithful because we felt like that's what God was saying. And that's when he looked at me and he gave me this check and he said, brother, you're worth every penny of this and more. Well, you ever see a football player get in the end zone and act like he's never been there before? Just make a goof of himself? I heard my little voice take the check, counted the zeros, put it in my pocket. How many of us are being mature still? Because your blessing is tied up in someone else. Your future's in someone else's hands. David had a future, but it was in Jonathan's hands first before he got it in his. So I just put the check in my pocket and act like I'd been there before. Got to my car and let out a crazy praise. This offering don't make no sense, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I may not truly be worth all this, but because of your grace, it's still going in the bank. Because when I go to the bank, they're not going to say, sir, we know you and you're not worth all of this, so we're going to keep some of it. Am I helping you this morning or am I boring you? I thought we had a church going for the future and the future's now. That it's not in our hearts and our heads anymore. It's literally in our hands. So I called Dina and I'm trying to keep from speaking in tongues. And my idea was just to coyly meet her for dinner and just give her this check. And so we talk about all the family stuff and life stuff. And she said, well, you know, baby, did you get a check? I was like, yeah, I got a check. And she said, well, how much was it? And I told her. I heard her head hit the ground. And I heard Morgan jumping up and down in the background. We're rich! We're rich! We're rich! We're not rich yet. But I got off the phone with Dina and I just told the Lord, man, you've got such a goofy sense of humor. I never saw you coming. I'm telling you, God is crazy. He comes in the forms of mustard seeds and little rocks. He's not from Little Rock, but he is a little rock. I couldn't resist. Anyway, as I was driving, I was thinking about the fact that we had some maintenance to do around our house, and we needed to renovate our home, and it was going to be for us much more financially practical, and we would be much better stewards of God's grace in our life if we just stayed where we were and fixed her up. So we fixed her up. And as I was driving, the Lord began to show me one of the particular purchases that we made. And I began to think about it, and I thought to myself, wow, if we would have just had to pay that off monthly, which we had planned, it would have taken about, wow, probably about 3.5 years. It probably would have taken us 1,000 days. And then I remembered what was in my pocket that said, not 1,000 days. Devil, here's the authority that says, one day. One day. Shout better. Because we're going to anoint you in just a second for better. We're just going to be crazy, and we're just going to ask you to come to the altars. One row, one section at a time. And my people are going to get with your people, and we're going to anoint you for better. And you might say, you know, that really makes me mad that he's testifying. It's not right for the preacher to be wealthy or rich or to be prosperous or to be blessed. See, what's so vital in this season is in time is that God always moves from the head down. Always. And this is the word that the Lord gave to me for our church. From Psalms chapter 92 and verse 10, it says, I shall anoint you with fresh oil. And I saw the picture of how they would do it with the kings, a little bit like the apostle did. Remember how he just poured it on me? I never get the apostles and the bishops that come here that do it with a little. It's always a lot. We holding up swords and we running around the room and we soaking each other with oil. And I heard the Lord say that the pouring of better has begun. You are the head and you're filling the first drops. Now what that means to you depends on where you are. Some of you are the neck, so it won't take long for it to get to you. Some of you are the shoulders. It's going to take a little bit longer. Some of you are the fingers. And because this church is a church reaching the world, it may take a little longer to get to you. Some of you are just the big fat toe or the big fat heel. But friend, whether you got bunions or calluses or even shoes, God has said, let there be a fresh oil. Let there be a new oil. Let it be a pouring on this whole house. And they will begin to see better to such a degree that they'll experience God replacing more in one day and erasing more in one day than they have spent their lives being taxed 1,000. This morning we're going to receive our offering. I'm so sorry, praise team, to do this to you, but I sure felt safer with you up here. Because I felt like if it got rough out there, I could first send Jason in and then Jeff Alberti in. Although they tell me that Jeff Alberti has a third baby on the way, so he might be a little bit busy. He's got something new in the house. But family, get ready to give this morning. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over is the season this church is in. And if you're here and you don't understand that, and you don't understand this, recognize you don't have to be a recipient of it, that God brought you here to be introduced to God the person, God the presence, and God the provider. And God is providing in this house, and he's providing and pouring out salvation, deliverance, and healing. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come, whether it's for a personal invitation to meet and to become a living disciple of the Lord Jesus, or if it's for your home to be anointed and your house and finances for better. We're about to have a moment when we sing, and Pastor Dina and I, as the heads of this church, just move from one person to the next, and we release better. Better. Because better is one day in this house than 1,000 elsewhere. And the scripture says there is peace in the walls. There is prosperity in this palace. As you're getting ready to give, let me make this announcement. Our giving statements are prepared for you from the year 2004, and they're in a basket in this breakout area next to the office complex. You may pick yours up before, well, since it's not now before the service, you'll be picking it up after the service. Our business administrator, Tamara Sword, will answer any questions that you might have. And we need you to mark your calendars for April 15th, 16th, and 17th. April 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Apostle James L. and Pamela Spence will be back in the House of Dominion. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Saturday, we are turning her loose, and it's going to be a women's conference like you have never seen before. She will be praying, she'll be preaching, she'll be prophesying, and she'll be releasing to you something called better. So mark your calendars for April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Pam Reynolds, one of our church advisory council members, she is coming to join me now as this morning is New Member Sunday, and we want to take this moment to honor our new members. We've done that with a breakfast, and as she's coming, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a day called better. We're moving beyond the place called bitter, and we're moving to a place called better. We're looking in our flood for the rock that is higher than us, and we're willing to make things right in our life in order to see who's right and who's upright in our life. God bless our giving this morning, and as we faithfully give, let you get just up inside our portion, and may you release your presence in this house called peace and this house called prosperous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pam, take just a moment, and would you just, you do such a great job. You prepare from the worksheets what each of the individuals have said about where they are in the Lord and what this church means to them. And would you introduce them, and would each of them come down as your name is called?
I am very privileged to present this class of new members to you. These are people that are already a part of this church in so many ways, but this is just an official welcoming to them, and we want you to be excited with us this morning as we present them to you. First of all, Carolyn A.G. Did I say that right? Carolyn said, Dominion Church represents love, joy, peace, and definitely a place for my healing. Second would be Chris and Mindy McNeil, who are not able to be here today because their kiddos are sick. But Chris said, I have learned the power of prayer. I thought this was so cool. I prayed in the past, but it has been through the help of this church that I now have power to my prayer. Chris and Bonnie's for Plitis. Chris said, the wonderful people at Dominion Church have changed my thinking from selfish goals for myself and family to thinking of ways I can better help those in need of a loving touch or an act of kindness. Bonnie said, I feel like through this church, God has provided me with all the tools that I need to take care of my family and be the kind of wife and mother that they need. Amen. Keisa White. Keisa said, becoming a part of the family of Dominion Church is such a huge moment in my life. It represents, she's going to make me cry. It represents a new beginning for me. Thank you for welcoming me and my family with love and open arms. Angel Wooten. Troy and Brandon, you can come if you want to. See if we, you don't have to if you don't want to. These belong to her along with Jessica. Said, I've seen Dominion Church growing and expanding and receiving a bigger new building. And through this, the missionaries in large quantities will be sent across the street and around the world preaching and teaching the gospel from this house. So that was really cool. I have such a privilege of looking through their packets and seeing what's on their heart. And something really hit me as I was reading through them. I read through them two or three different times. And there was a consensus among all of them that this is a church that they can come to and that they love the praise and worship. They love the pastors. They love the children's department, the youth department, everything about it. And I thought it was so cool as I look back over the last, since the beginning of this church, we've always had exactly what we needed when we needed it. This is a time where different ones took different ministers on staff. It may be paid staff or volunteer staff, and talked about how that person impacted them and how they learned something by hearing them speak. And you know, have you ever been to a church where you pray, God, if I bring someone, I just hope there's a guest speaker because I don't want a plain old ordinary service. And I am just so privileged to be a part of a church where we pray, God, don't let there be a guest speaker. Just let it be. Let it be our people, our pastors, our ministers. Because whether it's our pastor or any of our other pastoral staff or teachers that speak, God speaks to us, and he brings people just like this into our family, and we're better for it. So I wanted to ask Pastor Jeremy, I'm going to hand you this mic, because you were one of the people that was mentioned. But something that you said, you made an impact on this family, and I just thought that was so cool. And I'm going to ask him to pray a blessing over our new members, and I would ask the rest of our pastoral staff, if you just come stand around them, let's just love on them a little bit.
Let's pray. Would you just extend your hands forward to our new members? Lord, we just thank you for these people, Lord, for these members of Dominion Church, God, that have been a part of this congregation. And God, we just lay our hands on them. Lord, we extend our hands and ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and make them flourish in this house. God, I release ministry. God, I release power and anointing over their families. And God, I speak a blessing right now over their children, over their homes, over their futures and their past. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would launch them, God, to the future of this church. God, belongs to the new members, God, that you're sending to this house. We pray for increase, God. We pray for more new members, God. I pray that every Sunday would be New Member Sunday, God. We thank you, God, for sending us, Lord, these precious people. Lord, they are living stones in your body. And Lord, we thank you, God. We pray your best over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, while you're standing there and loving on each other, I want you to just stay there. And I'm going to ask now, as Waydeen begins to play this song and the praise team begins to sing this, "Come Now Let Us Worship," that's your invitation to come. I believe there are individuals here that have come for the sole purpose of meeting God, perhaps the very first time or for the next time. And I'm going to invite you to come and join the family, because I want to invite the whole family of this church to do in second service what we did in first service. We want you to come just as you are, just from the places of where you are. For some, it'll be the 1,000 days elsewhere, and you've been wandering and wandering, and it seems as if there's no way to pay the bills. It seems like there's no way to come out of this trial. And we're going to anoint you and just say one word: better. Pastor Dean and myself are going to just anoint each and every one of you. And we're just going to shout better in your life, over your life, because the pouring has begun, and God is going to begin to make a